Welcome to the Here to Be Human podcast, a podcast created to hold space for authentic human conversation through the lens of the feminine. Here, we will dive deep into the realms of motherhood, birth, seasons of womanhood, and so much more. I am your host, Lucy. I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Here to Be Human podcast. Today, I have a really exciting guest who I am literally obsessed with her amazing brand. Sarah is with us today from Liminal Elixirs. She is a mama, a business founder, and mental health specialist. She is currently navigating weaving business into her family life and discovering what that really means for us as mothers as we hold it all. She is attempting to show up and share her rocky journey with embracing aging and helping us all navigate this space as well. It is such a wild place out there at the moment with this obsession with eternal youth and the invisibility of mothers and our role in society. So I am so excited to have you on and to unpack this conversation, as well as hearing how Liminal Elixirs came to be and that whole backstory. Welcome.
Thank you, darling. Yeah, I'm actually so excited to talk about all of that. I feel like I only share little snippets of it. So yes, I'm Sarah. I guess I could have never predicted starting my own brand like this. I was pregnant with my third baby, Dusty. So obviously prior to being pregnant with him, on and off, I was using a heap of different skincare, always getting the next kind of trending thing, wanting to fight my face and aging and prevent aging. Mm-hmm. I have no idea where that comes from, actually, because a lot of the women in my family, like my mother, my grandmothers, this wasn't a thing. But anyway, I got pregnant with Dusty and I just started making my own skincare because I wanted something that worked but was natural. And it sort of just evolved from there, sharing with friends. And then actually had a really beautiful conversation with a friend of mine that has a cacao business. And I was just reflecting to her. I was like, wouldn't it be really amazing to have a product-based business like you? Something that I can run from home, so I can be with the kids more. I was on mat leave after having Dusty. I still am, actually, from my government job. And then the next day, I was sitting on my sofa and I just went, oh my gosh, I'm already making an amazing product that I'm giving to friends. And then the name dropped in and the whole is so hard to explain, but the whole concept around supporting women in their transition of aging dropped in. And I remember just writing pages and pages and pages about actually what it meant. So it was bigger than just the product, which I knew was amazing. And I had that, but I was like, if I'm going to do this and risk putting myself out there and having a brand and an Instagram, then it needs to be about something more and what will be the legacy of this. So that's how it started. Then obviously I'm a nurse by profession, so the whole building of the business was so new to me, and it's only been a year and a few months, but it's going very well. And it's just been a journey of like a learning journey, and I think it might evolving myself as well with it, and meeting beautiful people like you online. And I think the main thing that I've said from the start is that my relationship with aging is definitely rocky. Like, it's not easy for me. So I want to keep showing up and explaining and sharing how I'm going with that. And I think calling on people in the community that have a really beautiful relationship with aging and getting their wisdom. And then for me, I think I'm it's going to get more confronting, isn't it, for me as I age. So that'll evolve with the brand, and just want to be able to share more about that and yeah, keep creating products that make people feel their best. Like, I think our products are just so about nourishing and like supporting our skin. And I think the so much of the messaging and products out there are really fighting our skin. And I just feel like skincare has been so far removed from its, roots that we actually are just damaging our skin. So that's kind of where I've landed with it. And yeah, I'm a mum of three. So just trying to, and I do every aspect of the business myself, other than I have a friend helping me with a little bit of the website and marketing. But she's got a newborn at the moment, so we're just sort of working when we can. And yeah, so just see how the business kind of evolves in a practical sense as well.
Yeah, amazing. And talk to me about being a mother and a creator. Like, how do you juggle all those balls? How are you feeling about needing to juggle all the balls? Like, I think like I'm trying to do a similar thing at the moment, like honor my creative life force in the midst of motherhood. And I'm so inspired by mothers like you and like so many other people I've connected with as well, online, who are just following their bliss and alongside motherhood. But in saying that, it's not always easy. Yeah, it's just this weird expectation that if we want to do more, it is meshed in with motherhood, isn't it? And
It is. It's, I wish I could say it like I do. I see things online. It's like, because my husband will go have the kids while I do my, can sit down and do my content. And then I'll have the kids while he goes and does his business. Well, that's not our reality. My husband works on his business that he's had for, a long time, that's helped support us for so long. And so we are really in a phase of, trying to allow us both to have space for our businesses. It's big, and it's really a lot of like just like having just going gently with each other. But so for me, it's really hard because so my son does go to our little daycare a few days a week. So in those days, I'm really like, I'm either making product, trying to think of the content and like really support the brand page and get my message out there and continue to nurture that, plus running the business side of things. So it's
wild.
wild. It's wild. I'm getting better at creating systems for that kind of practical stuff because I love the creative side of it, but I also just can't really do that with the kids around so much. I guess like you're sitting on your phone making the content, which I someone said to me, because I feel like, oh, the kids are around, but someone said to me, but at least you're there with them and you're doing that. So I'll always try to communicate to the kids what I'm doing and why. So it's like not I'm just on my phone, but I'll usually try to plan it a bit so that they're not around. But that's probably one of the hardest things is getting to nurture that side of it when you're trying, I'm doing all the packing and all the making, so it's those things probably take priority. But I would love for it to evolve where possibly my husband's helping doing that aspect, or we get more help. I do have another friend that's coming on to help a bit more, but where I can really focus on, someone said to me, so if you're always doing the kind of bricks and mortar of the business, which is just the packing, the making, then you're not focusing your energy on the business growth side of things. So it's, like that's probably where my energy should be going. So I'm trying to focus on creating a way to get there more, if that makes sense. Because I've got lots of ideas, and you will understand this, that kind of frustration of, oh my gosh, like I have all these ideas and like all this beautiful creative energy to put out there, and then feeling that kind of moral or that distress of not being able to do it. That's probably what I find really hard. And then I'm just like, gosh, why did God send me this thing when I had a little third baby? As you understand, it's on. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment, just trying to. And then I think the bigger goal is to create more time for us all. So obviously, more abundance is looking at, like, I'm really focusing on what does that mean? And that just means more time for us all as a family. So,
Yes, I hear that. I think we're in this like exciting new time energetically on the planet where I feel like women are. I mean, I don't know if this is just something that's sort of come up for me where I've been witnessing a lot of women reclaim this creative life force. And then, like, how can I birth this into the world that honors me as a cyclical being, like as a woman and a mother? And then, how can I be supported in like thriving in that creativity as well as all the other aspects of my life? And I feel like we're sort of pushing up against all of these edges to create this new space. And I think so, there is going to be like a little bit of like clunkiness or a bit of stickiness, and then it's us really claiming our space, this space, and working it out and asking for the help or working out what the help needs to be, and everyone else in the community adjusting. And I'm excited because I feel like we're going to make a lot of change. Like, this is just a ripple effect into how women operate in the world, instead of like feeling like we need to martyr ourselves or, yeah, martyr ourselves essentially, whether that be working and mothering and all the things and feeling burnt out, or just mothering and waiting for our time to come. Because I do think we are creative beings, and I think it is essential that in some way we creatively express ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and you're only going to create an unhappy woman if you're blocking it. Like, you can't choose when that creative energy. I mean, I think when I had, so I've always been someone that loved learning and education. And like, that was almost like with my profession, I would just throw myself into the next, family therapy training or all the different trainings I've done. And then when I had my second daughter, it was I became a breath worker and had, would run breath work classes, and I still do that a little bit, but it's just so interesting. And then now I had Dusty, and then that, because you literally have the energy of creation inside you. Like, it's in our womb, and it's just like mad. And if you tap into it, like, I just think it's wild. We have so much capacity, but like you said, it's we can then become like martyrs. It's like, if I just keep doing it all, if I just keep doing it all, I feel like I'm very capable and I can do it all. And I'm not feeling burnt out at the moment because I don't know, I'm quite good at calling it when I'm not, my husband, poor darling. But yeah, so, but I'm like you, I don't have a support network around me at all. We live quite far away from family. So it's hard to have those resources to call on, when you want that time to create. And it can be really hard when I have an amazing idea or something I really want to share, but I can't sit down and film it or share it because the kids are around and it's that blocking. So it's just learning to work with that. Yeah, and not get caught in the frustration of that. I don't know how, like people say, content plan, sit and do like batch your content, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, man, I'll be driving. And if something's coming into my head, I want to talk about it because that's when it's there. And like, that's me authentic. And if I make a content plan, sit down and film, it doesn't work for mothers. I just think that, yeah, there's so many like, do this course to learn how to do this, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I either need to be like doing it when I think of it and it's authentic and it's on my mind, or, I think it is the one other thing that I've noticed for mothers in business. It's like, we don't just need the next course or whatever. When I started my business, I was like, I need practical help. Like, help me. How do I set up my ABN? How do I do this kind of task? Because I don't have time. I'm not dumb, but I don't have time. Like, I just need the help me set up the practical things. I
Yes.
don't know, just about that. Like, I just think there's not enough out there. Like, women have the idea, the creation. Let's help them make that something that's, they either want to monetize that to support their family, or they just want a way to get that out in the world. I don't feel like there's enough resources for that. There's like, things that'll go and help you, I don't know, tap into your creative energy or all that. But it's like, okay, what about the mum that, the friend that I've just spoken to that's got this brilliant idea? How can we get the practical steps to set that up? Because, like me, I just had no idea about running a business. And now, if people reach out to me, they're like, where did you like? Well, example would be like, who made your ads? Who does your ads? I'm like, I do it all myself. This is how I do it. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, there you go, go do it. Like, just things like that that took me months to learn that probably weren't that hard, but I'm very like, I'll put like mental blocks to things like that. Like, oh, I don't want to sit down and do this kind of techie thing. But then once I do it, it's like not like I run all my own ads through Meta now. And that look to me, I was like, I'll never be able to do that. How would I ever? And now, like, it's quite a complicated system, but I've just managed to do it. But things like that, I think just having, I think that's maybe what's missing is those sort of resources for women.
I definitely relate. And I definitely relate to, I feel like mothers or women, we process information so differently. And I definitely value showing up authentically as well. Like if I have an idea, I need to jump on that idea train. I need to follow it through to completion. If I write it down and then follow it up later, it's dead. Like, I'm not interested. Doesn't feel high vibe.
What was the energy of that?
I can't do it. And I feel like a lot of the courses and a lot of the things are very, just feel very masculine, which again just isn't the feminine way. So that's why I am excited, like all these amazing mother makers out in the world and these conversation cut like of creation alongside motherhood and business and has just been so much in my realm at the moment. And I'm like, oh yes, of course. Like it's almost been a missing link for me, like of my own well-being. Like it feels so obvious, but it's like I felt so bored and so like, I don't know. But as soon as I like find something and allow myself to take up a little bit of space to create, it's like something gets lit up inside of me and witnessing like you and other women in their bliss, in their creation, in their authenticity, light something up inside of me. And so I think it is just this exploration of this different way, and the feminine way, and us stepping up into our power and forging a new path of life and all the things. And
I
it's
think it would be like really, like it would be really interesting watching how me and my husband both run our businesses. So he's a mechanic and has like a, mechanical business workshop. And yeah, it's just so different. Like I'm just like something, even while we've been here, like I've been working on and off, but it's not draining because it's like I love it. It's my creation. Whereas I think his doesn't spark as much joy, but I'll do it when I get back. But I'm very like, if I have to just get the mental load off, and I think as mothers, because we just have too much other mental load, like I'll get back, like, I'm on holiday right now. Sorry, probably you guys probably don't know that, but yeah, just we work differently. It worked differently. And one thing that I think I said this to you drew me to your, to what you share about is I feel like you really shine a light on those spaces in motherhood. Like you probably get it all the time. You'll share something and people will be like, oh, and it's so, I think just shining a light on it just validates all of us that are in that space. And I think you've probably really found that that's where, that's probably helped direct you with the people affirming to you, like, thank you for sharing that. And then you're doing your podcast, just even elevates that more. You're just, maybe your job is to help share stories, bring them forth to, yeah, exactly, open up space in the timeline for us all to step forward. Does that make sense? Like, I just feel like that is so important. The more we share, like when I'll do a more vulnerable share, like I did one the other day about why I don't get Botox and fillers. And I was just driving with my girls to go to, we go to this little church group on a Saturday, and it just came into my head. And then anyway, they had to run and get their raincoats from school, so they ran in, and I just quickly, I was like, I have to record this now. And then I was like, oh, do I share it? I'm probably gonna get, like, some sort of crap on it, and I'm so nervous about sharing. But it people responded so well, and I think that I just need to keep doing that a bit more, like, do it the more we do it ad hoc, and when it comes through, and then share. I'm definitely getting much better at doing that, but it can be very scary.
Yeah, well, I think our generation, like we're the same age. I think our generation, we were really like in the thick of like the plastic, fantastic millennial kind of like era. And then when we became mothers, it was like everything's curated, everything's per, it was just like this perfect time where everything, all of these like thresholds that we crossed over as we grew up, it was like this reinforcement of like putting up a front, being perfect. Already we have this conditioning of being a good girl. So it's like every time we vulnerably share, it's tearing down that narrative. And it's really scary because it goes against everything we've been told. And we don't feel safe necessarily because we're like, we need to be curated. We need to be perfect. We need to be, and this also feeds into us aging. I feel this, we really did, like I grew up, with Paris Hilton and like, all of the, it was this white, Pamela Anderson, I can't even think of another example, but every single Hollywood star was like a Barbie doll. And all of the teen movies were really celebrating thin women with not a wrinkle on their face and perfect huge breasts. And that's what we, that's the story we were told growing up. So it is like as we get older, in all of the ways, in how we mother, in how we age, in how we show up on social media, it is like a little, like our little, pushback if we choose, but it's like it goes against everything that we've been told. So it's really big.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day, like with where we're at culturally. Like sometimes I'll look online and I'm like, it's the hair extensions. I have had hair extensions in the past. For anyone listening to this, it's gonna call me out. We wear the fake tan or whatever we do. I wonder at what line. So then I'm in Indonesia at the moment. So we watched the beautiful Balinese dancers last night, and they've got the beautiful garbs and the makeup and the paint. So that's a cultural, a beautiful cultural tradition. And we look at that, and that's very beautiful. Then we look at some of the things we're doing culturally. I'm really interested in the where it becomes damaging, when we think when, I mean, as I'm becoming older, I'm, growing out my hair, I'm less worried about things for sure. I wish I was like this when I was 18. I definitely wasn't. I was doing all the things. But yeah, what part of it, and I'm like, I'll be the first to say I like wearing a bit of makeup. I like doing like certain things, but at what point does it become, I just think that's, I've probably gone off topic then, but it's been something I've been really thinking about, because at what, in what part is it a beautiful cultural tradition to adorn ourselves and really like highlight parts of our femininity and things like that? And then at what part is it, I want to do that because I want to be that, I'm not good enough kind of thing? I think that's really an interesting thing as to what we're watching online too. I've said this before too. Recently, there's been a lot of news about this She's a beautiful hairdresser, influencer. She actually did my hair in her garage many years ago before she became quite well known. She's a beautiful woman. And she's 37 and she recently got a facelift. And it's all over the internet that she's 37, got a facelift. And it's not negative what they're saying. They're just sort of highlighting how young she is and how to get it younger so you can enjoy it. And she has her reasons for getting it done. Mainly it was her chin and different things. And I think I don't think it's I don't know, I don't judge her for doing it, but when I look at her, I'm like, look how good your face looks now. You've had a face. If you've almost cheated time, you're gonna look epic for the next 20 years. And that's just something I noticed, or I'll notice I'll see people get work done. I'm like, oh, they look really. It depends on the type of work. I feel like if I see someone with a really overfilled face, I'm like, oh no, that's not me. But I guess when you see it, how's that making you feel? Like if you're always just getting exposed to, I mean, and like I said, I've said to you, like on my ads, it's a lot of me on my ads because I can't, I don't, people are like, get an older model. And I'm like, but I'd rather use me because I've used my product for years and I could pay an older model, but it wouldn't be authentic, blah, 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 all the things. But then people are like, oh, why have you got a 20-year-old model? And I'm like, no, I'm 35, but yeah, like how's, I don't know, like maybe my face is making people feel a certain way. And what I find really interesting is how when I write back, no, I'm 35 and I'm a mum of three, like I feel like I have to write that I'm a mum of three. And I've really been reflecting on that. It's like, why do I have to say I'm a mum of three? And I think it's because it's like I've carried three babies. Who have sucked a lot of my body's kind of collagen and resources, plus I'm time poor. So it's almost like I'm trying to even further justify. I don't know. It's just funny. I'm like, why do I keep saying I'm a mum of three? I'm number one, I'm really proud that I'm a mum of three. And I don't know. What's your thoughts on that? I just keep thinking, stop, just say. I mean, I shouldn't even have to say how old I am, but I'm always like, I'm 35, I'm a mum of three, and it's just really funny. I'm like, stop doing that.
I think it's like, we always feel like we have to validate, like argue something and validate our authority. Or it is interesting. I think going back to your first sort of reflection, I think the different, because I've reflected on this too a lot as well, because I've had times in motherhood where I fully haven't looked after myself as well. And like, haven't dressed nicely, haven't done my skincare, haven't, like, I've fully been in martyr mode, but also, like, it was a reality because I had three toddlers at one time and no family support, and I had to keep them alive. But lately, I have been like really taking time to like do my skincare and love my face and like, massage my body with oils and like wear nice clothes that make me feel comfortable and good. And I think that's such a positive thing when we care for ourselves and we feel beautiful, whether that be put makeup on or like wear something that makes you feel really nice. I think it's like, are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for somebody else? Are you doing it to fit in or are you doing it to feel even more grounded in who you are and confident in who you are? And that's what the missing link is. I think when people dress up really beautiful and do these dances, like in Indonesia or wherever, culturally, it happens a lot. Like it's a lot, it's a celebration, it's a positive thing where they're paying respect to traditions past and to like reconnect with the land and the community. And it's something that in Western culture, like we definitely lack as well. Like we don't have traditions, we don't have
It's
things.
the intention.
Yes.
It's like it's in their purpose of intention is they're really celebrating their storylines in their culture and singing, and for us it's like, am I putting on the makeup to, mask something or I think with skincare to fight something for me, it's like, no, I just want my skin to feel really hydrated and juicy and look healthy. Like I'm not even, you know. So I think that's, yeah, basically you're saying it's our intention behind it. It's like, why am I putting the paying for these extensions? Why am I like, even me, like I think my nails, I'm like, you know, you see all these people with acrylic nails, and I'm like, you know, I don't know. I normally can grow my nails long, but because I do so much like hand making of my products and things, it's just not practical. But that's just something else I noticed. I'm like, do women not feel enough if they don't have the acrylic nails now? Because that's just everywhere too.
It's such a on trend thing though. It's like, and I also think it kind of goes back to that sense of belonging. Like when you have tradition, when you have ritual, when you have history, those people connecting in feel like they belong. Whereas we are still so, we're just,
That's it.
yeah, we don't belong. But when we see all of the other women looking a certain way, plus the conditioning of, you know, aging is bad for women, this obsession with eternal youth, this value placed on eternal youth, we then go, that's how we belong, that's how we feel enough, that's how we'll feel confident. And it's like a house of cards, really, because it's never going to be enough if you don't feel comfortable in your own skin and love who you are. And it's not, yeah, coming from that place of intention and celebration.
I agree. I think you're right with the belonging, like, because we're like homogenizing our faces. Because I was watching something on TV here the other day, and I was like, "Who is that woman?" But she looked like kind of every other woman, and it was Carrie Underwood. And I was like, "You don't look like it. That's not Carrie Underwood." And I was like, "Oh, that is Carrie Underwood." But she doesn't. She looked very, you know, all that, you know, just that, I guess if we're all getting, people are all getting the same procedures and they'll all look the same, and then you'd lose how you look. But like you're saying with the house of cards, that's something I spoke to the other day. It's like, Sarah, you're gonna get old. So why? And I'll be so honest with this. Like, I'm just trying to shine a light on my journey with it. I'm actually not scared of getting old or dying or anything like that. I think maybe I'm too attached with, yeah, my, not my appearance. I don't know. Maybe it is my appearance, my youthful appearance, which isn't. I'm 35, so I, you know, whatever I look like for 35. But it's like we are gonna get older, and I said something about this the other day. Like if I would think it would be so weird if we're getting, like, I was getting procedures in my face and then my face wasn't aging, but then like your body would be aging. Like that also looked really odd. But yeah, I'm not there yet. Like I'm sure I'm going to get more confronted over time. So I'll continue to speak to it as uncomfortable as it is, or maybe something will click for me in a few years and I'll just go, oh cool, I'm not that bothered. But it's, I don't know where that comes from. Obviously, I think it is from it being exposed to, you know, people being, you know, maybe 45, 50, but not looking like that, and then we get drawn up in it. Or yeah, I don't know. So what would be your relationship with aging and your, because obviously you've got less kind of attachment than me to it by the sounds of it. So what's some of your wisdom?
I've definitely had, I've got insecurities, and I fully relate when you say, you know, you have fear around aging, or it feels triggering, and you look at other people and you think, you know, I fully relate to that. I think because my mum maybe was just so comfortable in her body, she modeled that for me. So it's like, modeling is so important, I feel. And so I do come back to that. Like, I don't think I could ever actually have plastic surgery or do anything to my body, but I do definitely go through the thought processes sometimes. And I feel like confronted when I find another gray hair, or if I find a wrinkle that's not, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh, that wrinkle's not going away, you know, and then definitely having babies, your body changes every time. I've just been trying really hard to lean into that and be curious. Like, because I also can, I'm so aware that it's not actually something that is mine. I only want to feel comfortable in my body, and I only want to just be happy and feel confident, you know? Whenever I think about doing other things to my body, that only sparks more insecurity and more anxiety, and I'd be doing it for somebody else. I'm so aware of that shift in like how my body feels in that. So I'm like, how can I challenge this trigger and just sit in it and like lean into it and unpack it until I feel a little bit more at ease? I definitely do things to try and look after my body, and like, and I want to age gracefully. I want to be really healthy. I want to feel really strong. I want to feel like my skin's really hydrated and supple. And I want, especially after having four babies, I'm like, I want to be like super fit, but like, so I feel strong aging. And so I, yeah, and so I'm not struggling aging.
Yep, I agree with that. That's, I think, definitely for me, I've been doing weightlifting since before I had Dusty, so a few years now. And that's really helped because it's like you feel. If you feel like your body's strong, and yeah, I think there's those other aspects of aging, like the fragility that could be, you know, make people nervous. But if we're just trying to, I mean, our bodies are our temples. So I think just trying to honor that, but not cross into, like, I think that getting work done isn't honoring your temple, is it? It's not, you know, a nourishing kind of, thing to do to your body. So like discerning between those two things. And I have zero judgment for anyone that gets anything done. It's their life, it's their body. It would just make me feel sad if they were feeling not good about themselves when they're doing it, or that's what it is for me. I have zero, absolutely zero judgment. And I think that when people like troll me and they're like, you've had Botox, I'm like, God, like I haven't, but leave, what would, you know, like leave people alone. Like, I don't know. Like, if someone's had Botox, they have their reasons, and, you know,
But
I
again,
don't know.
it's coming from either side of this. I don't know if you want to call it's not an argument, I guess the conversation. It's like people feeling triggered on either end of the spectrum. It's because they're not feeling secure and happy within themselves.
Yeah, it's like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I feel like people like, yeah, there's like these two polarizing views, and it's women, and then they're just like they're attacking me when I'm like promoting something natural or whatever, but then they'd be attack and they're also at the same thing attacking me because they think I've used Botox, and it's like just leave each other alone. Like, it's yeah, but you know, they're obviously coming from a place of wounding. And I think some of the people that have been commenting on my stuff, their kind of demographic or whatever, probably coming from being raised in whatever era they're raised in. And now they're being exposed to all this stuff on socials that's young women doing all the thing, you know, the morning shed or, you know, all the things that young women are doing. So, of course, their way of processing it and their triggers are going to be, you know, heightened because it's just such a clash of generations and life. Like, I don't know. Like, my mum doesn't really go on social media much, and she's probably not getting targeted with those things. But I'm sure if she was, it wouldn't be making her feel good.
Yeah.
So.
And again, I think it's just like this, it's this lack of belonging and perhaps lack of initiation as we cross over these thresholds for, so for these older women, they're still stuck in this place of trying to belong, but not knowing what that is. And I think it works for men as well. It's like we have this problem in all of Western society where we don't have this celebration of like being in one season and you cross into the next and this is your place and you feel respected and you feel held and then this is your and then you cross over the next one and it's so important. I think it is important that we celebrate aging because obviously we need leaders and we need people to model certain things to us and to just pave the way, like, and which we just don't have. We just don't have in Western culture, and I think people are just don't know where they fit in, so they're feeling triggered by everything and overwhelmed, and trying to just work it out. But that's how it's manifesting in people trolling one another. You know, you can't ever win. And it's just such a shame because, especially for these like older women who are trolling you, which then when you've gone into conversation with them, they haven't really been, they've just felt.
Something's triggered them, and
Yeah. But
it's they haven't been in their greatest, speaking from their highest places. And I just have so much empathy because I'm like, oh, that would be a really hard place to sit in. And I only want to like shine lights on that and try to change what's going on a little bit. Like, I don't, like I said earlier, it's just I wanted this to be about more, so that's kind of why I do it. I wonder, I feel like younger, I head more heading away from like even I watch a little bit of Love Island, and I'm even noticing there's less people having breast enhancements that are going on that show. And I'm like, that is so refreshing because maybe 5 years ago that there was no one on there without a breast augmentation. And I think, oh, our beautiful little breasts are coming, becoming, I don't know, back in trend. It's hilarious, isn't it? But I do feel like maybe there is gonna be a shift, hopefully. I think all we can do is just keep talking about it. And I just want to keep sharing my unique experience with it. When something triggers me, I'll try to speak about it and try to figure out where it came from and work with it. I feel like that's all I can do. And keep showing up for fear, even with the fear of being trolled.
It's just bringing awareness to why we are doing things we're doing and why we're feeling triggered by things. It's like, is this actually mine? Or is this conditioning? Or is this an insecurity? Is this, yeah, it's so good to just open things up to conversation and definitely around aging. I think it's so important because we all age. There's so much.
Exactly. It's so normal. I've spoke to this before, so I'm like, if you're out there and you're just so crazy with aging, hit me with why, how, where that comes from. You just see these people just move through it with grace. When I first started my business, I really was like, I would speak to the crone, like the beautiful, radiant, aged crone and her wisdom. And so I got told by so many people, stop talking about this crone. No one's going to follow you. Like, why? And I'm like, and it was one of the things that dropped in. And I was like, no, like, that woman in your community, the crone, that's like
I'm
this
obsessed with
age.
that archetype. Like, that's my, I think.
People couldn't handle it. I had to take it off my bio. People were like, "Don't stop talking about what are you going on about this crone thing." And I'm like, "I, this brand is me trying to get to the crone, and how I'm going to get there and embrace it." And it was all about embracing the radiant crone and trying to get to the radiant crone. But people were like, "You cannot use the word crone on Instagram." And I was like, "I." Anyway, maybe I should go back and
I'm such a rebel, so I, knowing me, I'd be like, well, I'm gonna do it even more. It's so funny how we're so triggered by aging that we want to silence silence it, and even more so aging women. And I think because women are so powerful, and as we age, we give less fucks and we're actually super powerful. And I think, do you know Jane Hardwick Collings, her work? She's an amazing.
In or from
She does women
no
work. You need to look her up. She's incredible.
will see
But
again.
she always says when society tries to suppress or censor something, that is a clue that there is so much power there. And it's something that we need to sit in and look at and unpack so that we can release that power back to its rightful place. And I see so many places in our culture where women are disempowered and silenced, and I'm sick of it. And I think we need to really lean in to these places of suppression and uncover why that's happening.
Well, they were saying like the crone is like, I think my husband was like, a crone's like a hag, or like a crone's like an old witchy hag. And I was like, no, it's not. Like, you guys, I think a lot of people don't have the reference point that we have to it. It's like maiden, mother, crone, like that transition. Like you'd not necessarily like don't have to be a mother, but it's like you're going from, I remember I did a breathwork journey with a group of women, not all mothers, and a lot of them really like went through this really cool thing of moving from, maiden, mother, crone. And anyway, I think we probably have a different understanding, so maybe we need to reclaim the term as well. Like, I think that could be about it, like just reclaiming what the crone is. Like, it's, yeah, I think the connotations to the word are, yeah, maybe a little out of alignment with what we think of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's all like this ploy to disempower women again. Like, it's like back in the day, like wise women were midwives, and or midwives were wise women, and they had this respectful place in society. And then when birth moved into hospital, there was this huge, like, campaign against midwives, so that people thought they were dirty, ignorant, unsafe, to get people to trust birth in hospital, and to fully discredit these midwives, these wise women. And I think the fact that we now think of a crone as this ugly hag or
Yeah.
something, it's like, it's part of the same campaign. It's like we've fully disconnected from our roots as women and our power as women and our history. And it's time to reclaim all those parts.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think we have lost the respect for elders in our Western culture. Or, whatever, wherever we're sitting. And that needs to definitely shift, I think, because I think the wisdom you get from someone with a beautiful lived experience is just, you just can't beat it,
And I think it's like also circles back to these older women who are coming into your DMs and feeling triggered. It's like if they felt respected and if they felt like they had a place in society, I don't think they would be feeling triggered. They would not, they would be, they're our elders.
Like,
They're
I'd love
someone.
them to come in and give me some pearls of wisdom. I'm totally open to it, but it's the way people come in with just that trigger, and the pain comes forward first, and it's like, no, I love you. Like, I love you. I don't have like any, I just have so much empathy for where they're coming from. It's not it's just wanting to work with them. And it's just a shame that it's women to women. I just think, God, we've all been through, we already have enough. We just need to each other and honor each other and support each other. I think you and me had this little conversation before, especially in our, professions in nursing. It's like the way they treat student nurses or whatever. Like, I would never do that to a student nurse, but it's just, oh, it's a pecking order. It's like, it doesn't need to be that way. It just doesn't.
Cycle of pain, isn't it? It's like, well,
It is.
we were treated badly, so now it's my turn to treat you badly. And oh, it's just this disconnect in all of sisterhood. Like, why are we so nasty to one another? It's instead of just, reconnecting and lifting each other up and championing each other. It really needs to end.
Well, I feel like we've definitely put some of it out there today, and yeah, I love what you're doing. I think just that's all we can do. It's all we can do.
Thank you so much for what you're offering this world with your beautiful business and products that are so amazing. Like, honestly, they're the best products I've ever used. And you're really onto something. And I love your messaging and your authenticity and your vulnerability. And I think that frequency really resonates with people. And it's so beautiful for this world in this timeline to have that medicine out there. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
First time I've been on a podcast, so that was fun. I mean, I can yarn. I'm good at one-on-one, but and this will be nice for me to share for people that want to hear a bit more. And I think it's been a really good, it's really captured the essence of what I'm trying to kind of shine a light on a little bit, and just where I'm at with it. And I love that. Yeah, that you're helping women to, have a platform to do that as well. So,
Thank you so much. If people want to find you, if they aren't already following you, where can they connect?
yeah, I'm pretty much only on Instagram, really, at Liminal Elixirs. It's a bit of a mouthful, but you'll find it. You'll see my face. Yeah. Come have a look. I try to share a mixture of, inspiring with aging. But yeah, hopefully we'll get better at doing a bit more of that. And then yeah, a little bit about me and my family, and then a bit about our brand as well, like the products as well. Try to yeah. All right, thank you so much, darling.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. For more, you can find me on Instagram at Here to Be Human Podcast. If this space is resonating for you, please like, subscribe, and share so that this podcast can reach more people. See you next time for more.